29. Visiting graveyards. It is generally thought that Islam prohibits women from visiting graveyards. This is not true. In the days of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, women were initially stopped from visiting the graves because they used to vociferously wail and cry, a practice which was rampant among women in Arabia at the advent of Islam. Once women had learned to restrain themselves at such places, they were allowed to visit the graveyards. This directive, it must be understood, is not part of the Sharia. It was a directive given by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to deal with a particular situation and was withdrawn once the required end was achieved. The initial directive of prohibition is mentioned thus. Abu Hurairah reports that the Messenger of God has cursed women who visit the graves. At-Tirmidhi, Sunan, Volume 3, page 371, Hadith number 1056. The final directive in which this prohibition was repealed is mentioned thus. Ibn Buraida reports from his father, who reports from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I had stopped you from visiting the graves. You can now visit them, for this reminds us of death. Abu Dawud, Sunan, Volume 3, page 218, Hadith number 3235. Another similar narrative reads, Ibn Abi Mulaika reports from Aisha that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave concession in visiting the graves. Ibn Majah, Sunan, Volume 1, page 500, Hadith number 1570. Thus, women today can visit the graves of their dead relatives. They should try not to create a scene there. Of course, this does not mean that they cannot cry. It only means that they should not exceed the limit in this regard. 30. Reading the Quran during menstruation. It is generally understood that women cannot read or touch the Quran when they are passing through their menstrual cycle. People generally base their opinion on the following narrative reported by Ibn Umar from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A lady who is passing through her menstrual cycle and a person who is in the state of janaba should not read anything from the Quran. Tirmidhi, Sunan, Volume 1, page 236. As per the established sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only three worship rituals are forbidden to women during this time, and they are fasting, praying, and offering the tawaf. As far as the narrative quoted above is concerned, is regarded as weak by authorities. Reading the Quran during this state, whether by heart or through the book, is not forbidden by the Sharia. Of course, if as a matter of personal inclination, a woman does not feel up to reading the Quran in this state, it is her own personal choice, but she should realize that she has not been stopped by the Sharia in this regard. 31. Change of name after marriage. In many Muslim countries, Muslim women change their names by adding the names of their husbands to their maiden names in place of their father's name. It needs to be clarified that this is not a requirement of the Sharia. It has more to do with culture and traditions of a society. Thus, none of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad changed their names when they got married. When they married the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha رضي الله عنها or Hafsa رضي الله عنها, for example, never became Aisha Muhammad or Hafsa Muhammad رضي الله عنهما, respectively. 32. Misinterpretation of some verses of Surah Ahzab. There are certain directives about women which have been erroneously derived from some verses of Surah Ahzab. These directives can be enumerated as follows. A. Women must cover their faces and wear large cloaks when they go out of their houses. B. Women must speak in a polite tone with strangers. C. Women should primarily be confined to their homes. D. Women should be kept secluded except from their immediate relatives. It needs to be appreciated that all the above directives have a specific background and cannot be taken as general directives regarding women. It is imperative that this background be understood. When the Islamic message gained acclaim in Medina, the hypocrites started to tease Muslim women and scandalize the lives of the Prophet's wives. They would try as much as they could to disparage the Prophet's personal life and those of his wives. It was in this period when the incident of Ifk took place. Aisha radiyallahu anha, the illustrious wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was dragged into a scandal by these mischief mongers. While referring to this general attitude of the hypocrites, the Quran states, والذين يؤذون المؤمنين والمؤمنات بغير ما اكتسبوا فقد احتملوا بهتانا واثما مبينا. يا ايها النبي قل لازواجك وبناتك ونساء المؤمنين يدنين عليهن من جلابيبهن ذلك ادنى ان يعرفن فلا يؤذين وكان الله غفورا رحيما. لئن لم ينته المنافقون والذين في قلوبهم مرض والمرجفون في المدينه لنغرينك بهم ثم لا يجاورونك فيها الا قليلا. ملعونين اينما ثقفوا اخذوا وقتلوا تقتيلا. And those who harass believing men and believing women unjustifiably shall bear the guilt of slander and a grievous sin. O Prophet, enjoin your wives, your daughters, and the wives of true believers to draw of them a shawl that they may have when they go out. It will become possible from this that they be distinguished from slave women and not be harassed. God is ever forgiving and merciful. If after these measures also these hypocrites and those who have the ailment of jealousy in their hearts and the scandal mongers of Medina do not desist, we will rouse you against them, and their days in that city will be numbered. Cursed be they, wherever found, they will be seized and put to exemplary death. Surah number 33, verses 58 to 61. The above verses also shed light on one of the subversive activities of the hypocrites. They would tease and torment believing women, and when they would be called to account, they would say they did not know that these were believing women. While explaining the background of this verse, Hafiz ibn Kasir, the celebrated commentator of the Quran, records the opinion of Suddi in the following words. The mischief mongers among the people of Medina would come out on the streets at dusk and get after women of the Ansar. The houses of the people of Medina in those days were very small in size, and at nightfall, the women would go out on these streets, making their way to the fields to relieve themselves. These evil people would tease these women. If they saw a woman who would be wearing a cloak, they would say that she is a free woman and not a slave, and would abstain from any evil activity. And if they saw a woman who would not be wearing a cloak in the way prescribed by the Quran, they would pounce on her by saying she is a slave woman. Ibn Kathir, Tafsir, Volume 3, page 518. He then records the opinion of Mujahid in the following words. These women would wear cloaks in the way prescribed by the Quran so that it be known that they are free women, and the mischief mongers would not then harm or tease them. Ibn Kathir, Tafsir, Volume 3, page 518. Evidently, in order to curb this prank of theirs, the Almighty directed believing women to make themselves distinct in appearance from other women so that these people could have no excuse to tease them. This distinction in appearance was to be made by drawing a part of their cloaks in front of them so that it protruded over their bodies. Moreover, people who have derived the veil from these directives have translated the relevant part as, O Prophet, tell your wives and daughters and the wives of the believers to draw a part of their cloaks over them. To draw cloaks over their faces is an erroneous translation. The directive means that Muslim women should draw a part of their cloaks on them so that these cloaks should dangle in front. Nowhere does the verse say that the face should be covered. In fact, the verse is devoid of the word face. If the face was required to be covered, words to the effect يُغَتِّينَ وُجُوهَهُنَّ or they should cover their faces should have been present. It is thus evident from this discussion that the directive given in the verse regarding cloaks and seemingly covering the face has no bearing in any way to directives in general. They only prescribe a way to deal with the particular situation that had arisen in the times of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After dealing with the first question, the following three questions which remain are answered through excerpts taken from Javed Ahmed Ghamidi's Mizan. The remaining ones are: A. Women must not speak in a polite tone with strangers. B. Women should primarily be confined to their homes. C. Women should be kept secluded except from their immediate relatives. An explanation now follows. A deliberation on the contents of Surah Ahzab reveals the fact when the hypocrites and the miscreants mentioned above embarked upon a campaign to scandalize the private lives of the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to make the common man averse to them and to damage the moral repute of both Islam and the Muslims, the Almighty took certain measures to curb this evil. First, he gave the noble wives the choice to leave the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and live the life of common Muslim women, enjoying its luxuries and comforts, or to once again decide with full awareness to live forever as the wives of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order to obtain the comforts and luxuries of the hereafter. They were then informed that if they decided to stay with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then they must realize that their status as wives entailed great responsibility. They are not like common women. They are like the mothers of the believers. Therefore, if they remain faithful to God and His Prophet and do righteous deeds with full sincerity, they will earn a twofold reward. Likewise, they will be worthy of a twofold punishment in relation to other women if they commit a sin. Their inner purification is beyond doubt. However, the Almighty also wants to morally cleanse them in the eyes of the people so that no one is given a chance to even cast slight aspersions on their characters. This is a requisite of their status, and they must adopt certain things in their daily lives to achieve this purity. Firstly, if they are fearful of the Almighty, they should not be kind and affectionate in speech to every person who enters their house. Though in normal circumstances, one must be gentle and kind when he speaks to others, but in the circumstances they are facing, such an attitude would only embolden the miscreants and the hypocrites around them to take undue advantage of them. Such an attitude of kindness would create in them the expectation of success in their mission, the mission of whispering evil in people's hearts. So if they have to talk to such people, they must speak in clear and simple tones so that those among the addressees who intend evil realize that they cannot achieve their objective. The Quran states, Ya Nisa al-Nabi, Lastunna ka ahadim minan nisa in ittaqaytunna fala takhda'na bil kawl fayatma'a allazi fi qalbihi maradun wa qulna qawlan ma'rufa. Wives of the Prophet, you are not like other women. So if you fear God, do not be too complacent in your speech, lest the lecherous hearted should lust after you. Talk with such people in plain and simple words. Surah number 33, verse 32. Second, they should remain in their homes in order to protect their rank and status. All their attitudes and mannerisms should be in accordance with the status that the Almighty has conferred upon them. So if they have to go out to meet some compelling need, they must not go out displaying their ornaments and finery, something which was the way of women of the age of Jahiliyyah. Both their status and responsibility entail that they remain in their houses and diligently pray and pay zakah and with full sincerity spend their time in obedience to the Almighty and His Prophet. However, if due to some unavoidable reason they must leave their place, then they should do so in the most befitting of manners, exemplifying the culture and tradition of the Muslims, and not let any hypocrite raise any objections against them. The Quran states, وَقَرَنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَا السَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطَعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُزْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. And abide still in your homes and do not display your finery as women used to do in the days of Jahiliyyah. Attend to your prayers, pay zakah and obey God and His Messenger. Women of this house, the Almighty wants to cleanse you from the filth these hypocrites want to besmear you with and to fully purify you. Surah number 33, verse 33. Thirdly, they should try to communicate the verses of the Quran as well as the beliefs and moral teachings of Islam to people who come and visit them and refrain from other general gossip. It is for this very objective that the Almighty has chosen them. Their purpose of life now is the dissemination of the message of Islam and not indulgence in the luxuries of life. The Quran says, وَاسْكُرْنَ مَا يُطْلَى فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ وَالْحِكْمَةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ لَطِيفًا خَبِيرًا. And communicate to your visitors what is taught to you of the verses of God and the wisdom revealed by Him. The Almighty is very discerning and all-knowing. Surah number 33, verse 34. It seems that even after all these measures, the miscreants did not mend their ways. Consequently, the Almighty gave some more directives to Muslims which were to be strictly followed.